Up to the Gemara. We learned the Mishnah last week where the Mishnah gives us a whole bunch of different details about the halachas of shofar, what kind of shofar is going to be considered okay, if it gets a crack in it or something of that nature. And then the second half of the Mishnah was about what type of listening to the shofar would be qualified for performing my mitzvah. So let's begin with the Gemara on Chav Zayin Amud Beis, where the Gemara says as follows, Tana Rabbanan. So we learned in our Mishnah, we learned in a Braisa, Aruch v'katzarul. I'm sorry, this is not listed in the Mishnah, but this is along the lines of what our Mishnah was talking about. Our Mishnah says if you have a shofar that gets a hole in it, a shofar that gets a crack in it. So here the Gemara goes further and says, Tana Rabbanan, Aruch v'katzarul. Let's say I have a very long shofar, and I decide to chop it down, I downsize a little bit. So in a case like that, kosher, because nothing really changed about the shofar. It used to be longer, now it's shorter, that's not a problem at all. Girdo, let's say I scrape it out, v'hamido al gildo, and now it's left with a very small layer of shofar that's left. Everything else is scraped away. Kosher, that's also okay, because bottom line, you have a shofar. Tzipei uzav v'makam hanachas hapeh. Let's say I decide I'm going to plaque it with gold around the place where the mouth is supposed to be situated. So there, we said before, we read the Gemara and we got into this discussion, that was on Chav Zayin Amud Aleph, that such a case would be considered pasul. Why? So we saw Machlokas HaRishonim, why that should be pasul, either because you are not going to be blowing the shofar. Rashi says over there, She'atkiya b'zahav v'lo b'shofar. You're not blowing from the shofar, you're blowing from the zahav. And other Rishonim say, no, the problem with that is it's going to be a chatzitza. And we got into the whole discussion from the Avnei Nezer, why that should be a chatzitza, don't we know? Kol ne'uso ena chotzitz. That's the principle of Maseches Sukkah. And that's the question, why doesn't that apply here? So that was the discussion we had 2 weeks ago. Says the Gemara, shelo b'makam anachas hapeh. Let's say I decide to put a gold rim around a different part of the shofar. Let's say where I'm going to hold my hand or somewhere else along the shofar. So in a case like that, we assume kosher, again, because that does not impede at all with my blowing of the shofar, so that's not a problem. Tzipei uzav mibifnim, let's say I put a gold coating on the inside, on the inner layer of the shofar, pasul, that will be pasul. Why? Because again, the simple understanding is that I'm not going to be hearing the shofar, I'm going to be hearing the blowing that's coming from the gold. Mibachutz, but what if I put a gold rim around the outside? Im nishtana kol mikamo shahaya, if it changes the sound, the tone of the shofar, then pasul, then I no longer have a shofar. Vim la, but if the sound remains the same, then kosher, the shofar is going to be kosher the same way it was before I did anything. Nikev b'sasmo, let's say it gets a little hole in it, and now I close up that hole. Im akiv esatkia, if that hole and that stopping up now changes the sound of the tkiah, then pasul, because it's no longer the regular sound of the shofar, now it's the sound of the shofar with something else mixed in it. V'im lav, but if it doesn't change the sound of the shofar, then kosher, we assume that that will be a good performance of the mitzvah. Nasan shofar besoch shofar, let's say a person puts one shofar inside of another shofar and somehow he blows. Im kol pnimi shama, if you hear the shofar from the inner one, that we assume yatza. V'im kol chitzon shama, but if you hear the shofar from the outer one, lo yatza, that would not be considered a good blowing of the shofar. And again, the reason why is because there's a hepsik in between the shofar itself and the sound that's coming out, so therefore we assume that that would disqualify the mitzvah. Tana Rabbanan, we learned in a braisa, girdo mi b'mi b'fneim u'b'mi b'chutz kasher. Let's say I scrape it off on the inside or I scrape it off on the outside, and now it's much thinner than it was beforehand, that is going to be kasher. Even if I scrape it to the point that it just has a thin membrane left of the shofar, that is also going to be kasher. Hiniach shofar besoch shofar, let's say I put one shofar into another one, and now I blow. Again, im kol hapnimi shama yatza. If you hear the inner shofar that's coming out from that sound, that's not a problem. Im kol chitzon shama lo yatza. We're on Chav Zayin Amud Beis, the first wide line. Hav chavit takabo. Now, here's an important halacha. Hav chavit takabo. Let's say I flip the shofar, and I'm tokea. So what does it mean to flip the shofar? What? So I take the wide end, and I blow out of that side, and now it's coming out of the smaller end, out of the more narrow end. So that's the simple case. I would have said that's what the Gemara is describing. So the Gemara says, lo yatza. That would not be a good performance of the mitzvah of shofar. Amar apapas, her apapa says, lo tema, don't think that this case of hafcha v'takabo is considered a case where the hafcha kikusna, like when I have a shirt, so I flip it inside out, upside down. I have a t-shirt, so I can wear it the right way, I could wear it inside out. So maybe it means over here that I somehow soften the shofar, and now I flip it really inside out and blow that way. That for sure is going to be disqualified. That certainly is not considered a shofar any longer if I flip it really inside out. However, the Gemara says what we're describing here is shehirchiv es hakatzer v'kitzer es harachiv. For example, says the Rashi, what happened is I took the shofar, which used to be a normal shape, now I put it into boiling hot water so it gets soft, and now I narrow the side that used to be the wider end, and I widen the side that used to be the narrow end. So now I flip the shofar backwards, not inside out, but I did it backwards. And there, says the Gemara, that also would be something that would impede my mitzvah of tkiyah shofar. Ask the Gemara, my taima. Why should that be a problem? Bottom line, I have a shofar here. I didn't do anything to it. All I did was I changed the shape a little, but nothing really intrinsically changed about the shofar itself. So the Gemara answers, Kidra Masna. The reason why, if you blow the shofar in the opposite direction from the wider end, and now it comes out from the smaller end, the Gemara says, Da'amar Rav Masna, V'havarta shofar trua. Because we have a pasuk that says, you have to blow a shofar trua b'chodesh ha-shvi b'asar l'chodesh. Part of the mitzvah is you have to blow the shofar, V'havarta. It has to pass through the shofar. And the Gemara learns an added level of meaning for that, Derech havaraso ba'inan, that it has to be the normal, natural way of it blowing, of it coming through a shofar the way anyone else would have blown. This is the unnatural way. This is not the normal way to do it. And therefore the Gemara says this shofar would be disqualified in order to perform my mitzvah. So, this Gemara is very problematic. Why is it very problematic? This last halacha that we learned is, havcha b'takabo, if I turn the shofar the wrong way and I blow out of the wrong end, that is not going to be considered a good mitzvah. Why? Because we learn from a pasuk, habaroso, it has to be derech habaroso, but it has to be the normal way that you would generally blow a shofar and the way it would come out. Now the problem with this is that we have a Gemara in Maseches Sukkah. The Gemara says in Sukkah daf memhei, Amar Rav Chizkiya, Amar Rav Yirmiyahu Mishum Rav Shimon ben Yochai, kol ha-mitzvos kulan. The Gemara says, anytime a person is performing a mitzvah, ein adam yotzei ela derech gedilasa. The only way you can perform a mitzvah is if you do it in the upright position, if you do it in the right way. How do we know that this halacha is true? Where do we learn this from? Shanemar, atzei shitim omdim, because when they took the cedar wood to try and build the krushim for the Mishkan, to try and build the edifice of the Mishkan, they had to have atzei shitim that were omdim. They had to have them in the upright position, the same way that they grew from the ground, which is not the normal way that we have wood nowadays. When you buy a beam of wood from the store, you don't know if it's flipped upside down, inside out, sideways, they put a whole bunch of chips of wood together. No, there's a special halacha, since here you're coming to do the mitzvah of building the Mishkan, of building the Beis HaMikdash, it has to be atzei shitim omdim. It has to be in the natural way which they grow from the ground, and you wouldn't be able to flip it sideways or inside out. That would not be considered a good performance of the mitzvah. So Rashi writes over there, where does this apply? Where does this apply? Where do we extend this to? That everything has to be done derech gedilason. So Rashi says, for example, kigon, karshe ha-mishkan, for example, the krashim of the mishkan, that's what the pasuk is referring to, ve'amudim, and all the beams of the mishkan have to be the same way, ve'lulav, ve'hadas, ve'arava. The lulav, the hadasim, and the aravos all have to be taken in the normal way in which they grow. So again, if a person takes the lulav and shakes it in the upside-down position, that will obviously disqualify his mitzvah of shaking lulav. So that's what Rashi says, based on this Gemara, in Sukkah Daf Mem Hei, that everything has to be performed in the upright position, the way it grew from the ground. Now, there's a very obvious item of mitzvahs that is missing from this list. What do we say again? Karshe HaMishkan and the Amudim. Lulav, Hadasim, and Aravos. Anybody's? What happened to the Esrog? What happened to the Esrog? And in fact, the whole reason why we flip the Esrog upside down before we make the bracha is because we assume that if you use the Esrog upside down, you're not going to be in performance of the mitzvah. And that's why we don't want to say the bracha too much in advance of the mitzvah, but we also don't want to pick up the Esrog because then we're not going to have overlatsiyas and you perform the mitzvah right away. So the Eitzah is, Tosfos says, take the Esrog upside down, and you're not going to perform the mitzvah while it's in an upside down position because you need derech gedilason. And that's why we go ahead and we make the bracha while it's upside down. So why does Rashi leave it out? That's the only one that we all know. Why does Rashi leave it out? So you could say he left it out because we all know that. No, but Rashi came before Tosfos. Tosfos is the one who made that famous. Can't be the reason why Rashi leaves it out. So why is it left out of the list? So this is the kasha of Reb Shlomo HaKohen Mivilna. So he comes up with a brilliant shot and he says, you know why? Because there cannot be a din of derech gedilaso by an esrog. because when the esrog is small, it grows one way, and then when it gets too heavy, it flips over the other way. So what's the right derech gedilaso on the tree? Do I hold it this way? Do I hold it that way? So by esrog, Reb Shlomo HaKohen Mivilna says this whole halacha wouldn't apply at all. Which again, obviously we don't assume like him, but it's a brilliant insight perhaps. The simple pshat is Rashi is a misprint, whatever, Rashi left it out by mistake, or it's something that was not intentional at all. And that's what the Magen Avraham writes, certainly that when it comes to an esrog, we all assume this way, that even if you hold the esrog in the upside down position, even though Rashi doesn't mention it in the list, it certainly is a very important thing that belongs on that list, and if a person holds the esrog the wrong way, that will not be a good mitzvah. In fact, the Bikur Yaakov, which is Rabbi Yaakov Ettlinger, the Aruch Laner, writes in his commentary on Shulchan Aruch, Hichos Dalad Minim, so he writes the following from the Sefer HaManig, one of the Gedolei HaRishonim. Sefer HaManig is not a Sefer that we generally read through that often, but over here the Aruch Laner quotes it. So he writes, Dalad Minim Shebelulav, whenever a person is shaking any of the Dalad Minim of the Lulav, Ein Yotzimahem Ela Derech Kedilasan. You have to take them in the upright position. Everything has to be the way it grew on the tree. The Osam Pisayim, says the Sefer HaManig, and those fools, those silly people, Shalokha Esrog Chotma Lamata Ba'ukta Lamaila, and those people who specifically take the Esrog upside down, because Ubodim Belibam, because they say in their hearts, Shu Keder Shu Talib Ilam, because that's the way the Esrog goes on the tree, because when it gets heavy, it turns upside down. Einam Yotzamine Chavasam! These people don't know what they're doing. They're trying to outsmart the system. They think, ah! I am the one who knows how the esrog grows, and I know that when it gets heavy, it turns the other way. Says the Sefer HaManig, you're not in performance of your mitzvah. Because we need derech kedilasan, and that is not derech kedilasan, that is not the way that the esrog grows. So this is a very important halacha, and this is why there are marites. There are two dayas about when a person gets, when you're supposed to shake the lulav and esrog in all the four directions, what do you do when you come to the down direction? So the Rama says there were those who used to take the lulav and esrog and flip them upside down when they went in the down position. Now, we all know we don't do that. Why do we not do that? The answer is because if you do that, you're not going to have a lulav and esrog, derech kedilasan. That's not the way to do it. You have to shake it in the upright position, and even when you're going down, you just have to do it in a down motion, but it still has to be staying in the upright position. The Mishnah Berurah even says that shchiva is called she'aloka derech kedilasan. So if you do it sideways, what about when you do the motion in front of you? Right? When we come to do the motion with the Dalad Minim in front of us, so how do we shake? I think most people shake like this. They put it sideways. When I grew up, my father always shook it straight up, the same way he held it all the directions, but he moved his hands in front of him. He didn't move the lulav and esrog to be in a vertical position. And again, the reason for that is because, right, the reason for that is because you need derech kedilasan. The Mishnah Berurah writes that shchiva, if you lay it down in that position, that is also not called a derech kedilasan either. So this is something to keep in mind. There's an interesting suffix that the Bikur Yaakov has as well about those people who live in Europe, he says. He lived in Germany. So he said, what about those people who live in Europe and they get an esrog from the opposite end of the world? So I don't know what the opposite end of the world from Europe is. So he says, maybe if you buy an esrog from Australia, whatever, on the other side of the world, maybe you should take that the other way, because derech kedilasan is the way they grew in Australia. Now they shipped it up here, maybe you should take it the other way. So we obviously don't assume that way either. Otherwise, when we have an esrog that comes from Eretz Yisrael, we're going to start, you know, holding it sideways to the east, to the west. You know, it's a very strange assumption. It's something that we don't do. But this is, anyway, an interesting idea to be keeping in mind. But be it as it may, the Binyan Shlomo asks a very obvious kasha. Our Gemara says over here, if you take the shofar, hafcha v'takabo, you take the shofar, and you blow it the opposite way. So the Gemara says, we learn from a pasuk, v'havarta shofar tru. We learn from a new pasuk, that the shofar has to be done, derech havarasa. Ask the Binyan Shlomo, very obvious kasha. Why do you have to learn from a new pasuk, that v'havarta shofar tru, that has to be derech havarasa? Why don't you have the good old pasuk? Derech yedilaso, that's the Gemara that we learn that all the dalad minim have to be in the right way. Atzi shitim omdim teaches us that when you build a mishkan, everything has to be upright. That should be the same thing over here. You have to blow the shofar in the upright position the way it was meant to be blown. So why should we have a havamina? Why should we need a new pasuk to teach us this halacha? So the Binyan Shlomo answers that the whole kasha is really a mistake, because how does the shofar grow on the animal? Which way does the shofar grow on the animal? The smaller side. It's not the part, right? The smaller side is not the part that's attached to the animal. The larger side is attached to the animal. So he says, obviously, derech kedilaso doesn't apply here because we all do it the wrong way. So he says, derech kedilaso wouldn't apply. So the question is, why shouldn't derech kedilaso apply in this case? Why should it apply in other cases and not here? So perhaps the reason for that is, Perhaps the difference here is, when you have the Dalet Minim are the Cheftza Shal Mitzvah, the Lulav, the Esrog, Hadassim, and Aravos. That's what you're supposed to do. But over here, you'll notice when we blow the shofar, what bracha do we make? We don't make a bracha litkoa b'shofar. We make a bracha lishma kol shofar. So again, the shofar, the item of the shofar itself, that's not the Cheftza Shal Mitzvah. That's just the Hechsher Mitzvah. The only way to perform my mitzvah is to use that item. But it's not that that is the mitzvah itself. The mitzvah itself is to do the hearing. As long as somebody else does it and I hear, that's fine. So when we're talking maybe about a Hechsher Mitzvah, not when we're talking about a mitzvah item itself, maybe when we're talking about a Hechsher Mitzvah, we'll argue that Derech Kedilasim would not have been necessary. And that's why our Gemara has to come along and say, if you do it in the wrong direction, we have a new pasuk to teach us that the shofar would not be able to be used in such a way. Not because of a lack of Derech Kedilasim, because Derech Kedilasim doesn't apply here. Over here, all we're talking about is something which is a Hechsher Mitzvah. It's not the Cheftza Shel Mitzvah itself. However, when you're talking about the shofar, the Gemara has to come up with a new pasuk, which is V'havarta Shofar Trua, that you need Derech Havarasa Ba'inan. I think it's something to consider, something to think about. I haven't seen it anywhere, but I think maybe that's the understanding, maybe that's the pshat here, as to understand why Derech Kedilasim might not apply in our Gemara. I think in general, when we talk about Derech Kedilasim by mitzvahs, there's a lot to think about just in that regard. That Derech Kedilasim by mitzvahs means we shouldn't always be looking for loopholes. We shouldn't always be looking for alternatives. We should do mitzvahs in the upright position. Mitzvahs should be performed in the way they were meant to be performed. Straightforward, we shouldn't try to always circumvent the halacha. And Derech Kedilasim means not only holding the mitzvah item in the upright position, but also upholding our performance of the mitzvahs and making sure that we carry them out and we do them in the upright position as well. Seem to remember that Rav Pam, there's a beautiful story about Rav Pam that he had a Talmud. For anyone who didn't know Rav Pam, he was as straightforward as they come. So he had a Talmud who once went to him, and he was talking to him about a certain deal he was going to do in business in the near future, and he was going to make millions of dollars, he was going to give a whole cut to the yeshiva, whatever. He was talking to Rav Pam about it. So Rav Pam asked him, is everything legal? Sounds like it's too good to be true, it can't be legal. He says to him, what do you mean is it legal? Would you think I would do something illegal? He says, I don't know, it just sounds too good to be true. So he says to him, well, you know, I got around this thing by doing that, and first I sold the business to that one, and now I'm going to sell it to my wife, I'm going to put it in his name and her name, and everything's legal, but so Rav Pam said to him, the Torah says that the Luchos were written Mizeh u'Mizeh him Ksuvim, which means that you were able to read the same letters. If you were standing on a different side of Har Sinai, you were able to read it the same way as somebody standing on the other side, which was an absolute miracle, the Gemara says. So Rav Pam said, God didn't just perform the miracle in order that wherever you were standing, you'd be able to read the Aseres HaDibros. That's not so important. He could have figured out another way to get the message across of how we can know the Aseres HaDibros. You know why he did it that way? Because he wanted to make sure that you can drea hin, you could drea hair, you could turn the luchos inside out and upside down. It still says Lo Signov. It still says Lo Signov, said Rav Pam. The Torah was meant to be kept in an upright position, and you can spin the Torah inside out and upside down and try to get around everything, but bottom line, you still read the words of the Torah that say, Lo Signov. And that's something I think to think about when we learn the halach of Derech Kedilasim, that it means not only to hold the mitzvah items in the right and the proper way, but also to make sure that we perform our mitzvah observances in the right way as well, and not always try to look for loopholes to get around the system. So now let's continue with the very next Gemara. We're on Chav Zayin Amud Beis. The Gemara tells us as follows. Dibek Shivrei Shofaros Pasol. If a person takes all the different chips of a shofar that was crushed up into little pieces and you put them all together with glue, that would not qualify as a shofar. Tanu Rabbanan. So we're going to go through this next Gemara quickly because it's not so relevant to us. It's something I assume none of us would ever do. Nobody takes pieces of a shofar and glues them together. But let's read the Gemara anyway. Tanu Rabbanan. Hosef alav kolshu. Let's say I add on a little bit to the shofar. Ben memino, ben shelo memino pasul. If I add on something to the shofar that was not naturally there beforehand, doesn't make a difference if this was a part of the shofar material or I added on a different piece of material. Either way, that will disqualify the shofar from being used. Nikev visasama. Let's say it gets a hole in it and now I am sosing that hole. I glue it up, I put something in the way. Ben bemino, ben shelo bemino. Whether I glue it up, whether I paste it with something that was shofar material, or I paste it with something else, puzzle, that is going to be disqualified. Rabbi Nassan Amar, Rabbi Nassan's have the opinion, no, bemino, kosher. If I use something that is from shofar material, then the shofar can still be used, because nothing changed. However, shelo bemino, if I choose to close it up with a piece of tissue or something else, then that is not going to be a kosher shofar any longer. B'mino kasher, says the Gemara, when you're telling me that if it's closed up with something that is shofar material, that's okay, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, that is provided, v'husha neshtayet rubo, that is only that, provided that the hole that was there was not most of the shofar. But if most of the shofar was a hole, and now you close it up with a different material, then you have no shofar anymore. Michlal de shalom amino, it sounds like the indication is that shalom amino, if you paste it up with something, a tissue or something that is not the min, that is not the material of a shofar, alfa pish and ishtaya rubo, even though you have most of the shofar, it was just a tiny little hole, but you close it up with a tissue, since the tissue is not a part of the shofar material, that would already disqualify it. And now the Gemara tells us that some, again, these cases, I would imagine, probably never come up. We never have a situation like that. We always have an extra shofar, gets a hole in it, so you get a different one. So the Gemara now says, maybe in the other direction. Ikedemasi la seifa. Some say maybe it goes in the other direction. Shelo b'mino pasul. You're telling me that if you close up the hole with something like a tissue, which is not shofar material, that is going to be pasul, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, v'hushin ifchas rubo. That is only when you have most of the shofar got a hole in it, and now you closed it up with an outside material. So then we say that that's going to be disqualified as a shofar. Mechlal, but you can infer from there. The indication is, shebemino, that if you're having the hole closed up with something that is shofar material, that we would assume, afal pishenivchas rubo, even though that was most of the shofar got cracked, and now you close it up with something else, with the shofar material, kosher, that will be okay, that will not disqualify the shofar. Okay, two opinions exactly how to read this gemara. Yeah, so over here the Gemara says it's not really blending more than one shofar, just this is called just closing up a hole.
But it's most of the shofar.
Right, but if most of the shofar, in this second opinion, if most of the shofar is being closed up with shofar material, you're saying then it's two shofars. But over here, I think that case was talking about where you didn't actually put them together. Over here, you're actually putting them together, so it's not shtei shofars. Right. Right, so that's just a bunch of pieces, and that's not really stuck together well, I think the Gemara is assuming. I think so. So now let's keep reading. Says the Gemara, Tzipeuza mi bifnim, if you coat the whole inside of the shofar with gold, puzzle. Why? Because the sound that's going to come out of the shofar is not going to be the sound of the shofar, rather it's going to be the sound of the gold. Mi bachutz, let's say I coat the whole outside layer of the shofar with gold, im nishtana kolo, if it makes the voice, the sound of the shofar make, it should sound a little bit different, mi kamosha haya, then puzzle. Vim la, but if the sound remains the same, kosher. Nistakli arko, what if you have a hole to the orech, to the width of the shofar? So then we would say that that is a disqualification. That's puzzle. Lerachbo, but if it's to the length, im nishtayer bo shir tekiya kasher. If you still have enough that you can blow from it, that's going to be kasher. Vim lav, but if not, if you have less than that, then that is going to be considered puzzle, because that's not a good enough shofar, because it got a crack in the length. The kama shir tekiya, what does that mean? You need a shir tekiya. What does that mean? How big does a shofar have to be? Anyone ever saw? Sometimes people have these tiny little shofars that they blow out of. So how big does a shofar have to be? Says the Gemara, Pirshup Shim Gamliel, Kedei Sheikh Zenabiyadu. It has to be big enough that you can hold it in your hand, V'yira, and you will see something coming out from outside of your hand. So it has to be a little bit bigger than a fist. A little bit more than a tefach. V'yira lekan lekan. You have to see on both ends. Hayakola dak o'ava o'tsror. Let's say you hear, you know, sometimes you have a person who blows the shofar, and the shofar sounds a little bit funny, a little bit off, a little bit different, till they get it right. The Gemara says those are all kosher. Shekol ha-kolos k'sherim b'shofar. As long as you're blowing from a good kosher shofar, doesn't matter what sound you hear, doesn't matter if it took him a few tries to get it the right, proper way, but as long as you hear the right sound coming out of a shofar, whatever sound that is going to be okay. Shachalei l'avu d'shmuel, kadcho v'takabo yatza. Let's say I make a hole in it, and then I blow from that hole, so I am able to perform my mitzvah in that way. Pshita says, well, of course, why not? Kulunami miktich karchuluhu. We have a hole in the shofar. The way the shofar grows on the animal, there's no hole in the end. The way the shofar grows on the animal, we have to hollow out that hole in the end. It's solid. It's solid on the animal's head, but we go ahead and make that hole, so why should this be any different? Amar Ravashi shekarcho bezachruso. The Gemara says, we're talking about a case that you do it while it's still attached to the animal. You do it while it's still considered a bone. Ma'u detema min b'mino chotzeitz kamash malon. Let's see this Rashi over here. Rashi says, shekadchu b'zachrusa. What does it mean? Kishu mechubru b'me'ema, while it's attached to the animal, etzem bolek min arosh. You have a bone that comes out of the head as well. V'nichnas letoko, and that bone grows inside of the shofar, inside of the horn. Umotziyan oso mitocha, and we empty that out. We hollow out the shofar later from that bone. We don't want any of that material in. So over here we're talking about a case where you chop the shofar off of the animal's head. You keep the animal alive, you just take the shofar off, and when taking the shofar off, you leave the bone that was growing inside also. And what you decide to do is you just poke a hole not only through the top of the shofar, but through the, instead of hollowing out the whole shofar inside, you decide just to poke a hole through the bone that's inside. So the Gemara says in a case like that, that is going to be considered a kasher shofar because there's no halacha that you have to hollow out the shofar. As long as you can get a sound out, that is going to be good enough. And we don't consider that to be shtei shofaros. Again, that's a chiddush. Why don't we consider that to shtei shofaros? Bottom line, I'm blowing from a shofar and from a bone that's inside. So the answer is no, because that's the natural way that it grows. And even though you didn't hollow the bone out and you didn't take everything out from inside of the shofar, it would still be considered a kosher shofar for Rosh Hashanah. No, derech haber also means that's not the natural way of going through, because you're doing it the opposite way. But over here you are. This is still the natural way to blow a shofar. Again, you didn't hollow the whole thing out, but there's no halacha that you have to hollow the whole thing out. So that's what the Gemara says. Okay, so let's go a little further. And we'll go to the top of the next amud, and we'll speak something out that's an important halacha lemaisa to be aware of on the next amud. Says the Gemara, we had in our Mishnah, ha-tokeh le-tocha bor or le-tocha dus. Let's say the Rishonim said, why does the Mishnah give such a strange case? You have somebody who goes ahead and blows the shofar inside of a pit. What are you blowing inside of a pit? Why don't you go to shul, blow like any normal person would blow? What's inside of the pit? So no, the Rishonim say we're talking about a case where you have somebody who's living in a shas hashmad. You have somebody who's living at a time where they're not just allowing everybody to blow shofar. So we all go and we crowd around the pit, and some people go inside the pit, and we're trying to hear the shofar there in order that we should be able to get away with it, that we shouldn't get into trouble. So the Gemara says, in that case, so the Gemara says it depends. If you hear the voice of the shofar itself, the sound of the shofar, then that's going to be hey, that's your mitzvah. But if you hear an echo, if you don't hear the shofar itself, you just hear the echo, then says the Gemara, that is not going to be a good performance of the mitzvah. Says the Gemara, expanding on that line in the Mishnah. Amar Rav Huna, lo shanu ela lo somehow om de masmas habar. Our Mishnah says it makes a difference whether you hear the echo or whether you hear the shofar itself. If you hear the echo, you're not yotzei the mitzvah. If you hear the shofar, you are. Says the Gemara, that only is applying to people who are standing al sfas habor, on the outer perimeter of the bor, on the outside. So then you have to ask them whether or not they heard the echo or they heard the shofar. Aval osam ha'omdim bebor, those who are cramped into the bor itself, yotza. They certainly are going to be able to perform the mitzvah sitting inside of the pit. Why? Because we assume whoever's inside of the pit certainly hears the shofar sound itself. You might hear an echo later, but you certainly hear the shofar itself. Tani namihachi, we learn the same in Ebraisa. Hatokeh letocha bor or letocha dus. If somebody blows into a pit or into a canister or something of that nature, yatsa. You are able to perform the mitzvah in that way. Ay v'hatnan, don't we learn in our Mishnah that we have here, lo yatsa, that you're not going to perform the mitzvah if you blow into a pit. So how do you reconcile these two prices? El alav, you must see from here, Shma mina kedir Rav Huna, Shma mina. You see that Rav Huna is saying the correct shot, that it depends. If you're standing on the outer perimeter of the bar, then you have to be careful. You have to make sure you hear the shofar itself and not the echo. If you're on the inside of the bar, so we assume everybody on the inside is hearing the real shofar itself. So now the Gemara has the same formulation of this Gemara, just the Gemara asks it as a question instead. Tana, our Mishnah says, Hatokeh letocha bor letocha dus, lo yatsa. Our Mishnah says, if somebody hears the blowing of the shofar from a bar, you're not yotzei. Ay, Tani, we learned in a braisa that you are yotzei. Lo, Amar Rav Huna, lo kasha, kan osan ha'omdim masfas habor, kan osan ha'omdim bebor. Okay, very good. Also a case that we're not so familiar with. It's something that doesn't come up that often. But here is an important case. Amar Rabba, so Rabba says the following. Shama mikzas tkiya bebor. So you're telling me that if you hear the tkiya inside of the bar, you're always going to perform your mitzvah because you're always going to hear the bona fide shofar sound. Shama mikzas tkiya bebor. Let's say you have somebody who hears the beginning of the tkiya in the bar, and now somebody calls out, oh, the enemy's coming, you better get out of the bar. So he jumps out of the bar, And he jumps out while he's still in the middle of listening to the person blowing. So you heard the beginning half of the tkiya inside of the bar, which was good. And then mixas tkiya svasa bar. You hear the other half of the tkiya outside of the bar. Now outside of the bar, you're already running into a question. Maybe you only heard the echo. Maybe you didn't hear the shofar itself. So the Gemara wants to know, what do you do in a case like that? You're not sure if a person heard one half bikashrus and one half bipaslus. So the Gemara says, in a case like that, yatsa. In a case like that, you perform your mitzvah. Mitzas tkiya kodem shiala amud ha-shachar. Let's say I hear part of the blowing before amud ha-shachar. Umiktas tkiya la'achar shiala amud ha-shachar. And I hear part of the blowing after amud ha-shachar when I'm supposed to perform my mitzvah. Says the Gemara, lo yatsa. In a case like that, you're not yotze. So the Gemara asks, Amalei Abaye Maishna, what's the difference? What's the difference? Shouldn't it be the same? Shouldn't you say, if a person hears a mixas tkiya inside the pit, he's yotze, and then he gets out of the pit before the end of the tkiya, the Gemara says he's yotze. Why? Shouldn't that be the same as somebody who hears the beginning of the tkiya before the zman, before Alos HaShachar, and then you hear the rest of it after Alos HaShachar? So how do you reconcile these two brises, one after the other? They seem to be a stira. Says the Gemara, what are you talking about? Hasam deba'inat kula tkiya b'chiyuva. Veleka. The Gemara says no, because you need that the person should hear the whole tkiya b'chiyuva. The person should be able to hear the whole tkiya the proper way. What do you mean? But that was our question. So both cases, you're not hearing the whole tkiya in the proper way. Says the Gemara, Hachanami b'ina kula tkiya b'chiyuva. Over here also, I have to hear the whole blowing in the proper way. And that's not what's happening. You hear the first half of the blowing in the pit, which is proper. The second half of the blowing you hear outside of the pit, which is improper. Says the Gemara, a very obvious distinction. Hachi hashta, there's no comparison at all. Ha sam laila lavs man chiyuvahu, klal. Over there, when you hear the beginning of the tkiya in the middle of the night before Alos HaShachar, so the night time is not a time for tkiya shofar at all. But hacha, bor makam chiyuvahu laosim ha'am de mibar. But over here, the bar was a good place to blow the shofar all along. And outside of the bar is also an okay place to blow the shofar, as long as you hear the proper way. So you can't say this is synonymous to the case of Laila and Yom. If you start by Laila, you have nothing. If you start in the pit, as long as you do it the right way, you have everything. It's not a problem at all. So that's why the Gemara says these two cases should not be considered similar to one another. Now, this din of Alos HaShachar is a very important halacha. It's not clear exactly what the story with Alos HaShachar is. What is the status of a halachic day? What exactly is a halachic day? So the Gemara says in Brachos Daf Beis that Alos HaShachar is already considered to be Yom. And we learn that from a pasuk in Nehemiah. Now the Beis HaLevi points out, how can you learn that from a pasuk in Nehemiah? Don't we know that this is a halacha that's relevant to Dinam Daraisa? The pasuk in Nehemiah came with Divrei Kabbalah, it was much later on. So the Beis HaLevi points out, it was a halacha l'Moshe Mitzrayim. Came around way back when? And Nehemiah just came along and said it on his own as well, but this was already well known from the days of Moshe Rabbein. Okay, that's what the Beis HaLevi argues. So the Mishnah writes in Megillah and Daf Chav, Ein Koren Es HaMegillah, Velo Malin, Velo Tovlin, Velo Mazin, all the mitzvahs that have to be performed during the day. This is a Mishnah, a very famous Mishnah, Megillah Daf Chav. Let's say a Bris Milah has to be done in the daytime hours. It can't be Balayla. And Mikra Megillah has to be done by Yom. All the different mitzvahs that we perform by Yom have to be done by Yom. Says the Gemara, it has to be done at Shatan Eitzachama. You have to start them not at Alos HaShachar, but rather at Neitzachama. How much further is Neitzachama than Alos HaShachar? Big machlokas harishonim. Simple pshat that most of us follow, the Mishnah Berurah follows, is 72 minutes. For argument's sake, 72 minutes. It might be 90 minutes, it might be 60 minutes, it might be something else, but we generally assume that 72 minutes is the time that we need from Alos HaShachar, from the first time that the sun starts to crack out from the sky, and until Aneitzachama, until we see the sun in the horizon. So that is the story. The Mishnah says that you cannot perform these mitzvahs until Aneitzachama. V'kulan sha'asu misha'al amud ha-shachar kasher. But p'diyevet, if you do them from Alos HaShachar, so you've performed your mitzvah. So what's going on here? What's going on here? Is Alos HaShachar the right time to do it, the wrong time to do it? Neitzachama? Very unclear. So Rashi writes over there, if Alos HaShachar is already considered to be Yom, as we see in the pasuk in Nehemiah, and the Beis HaLevi says, Alach l'Moshe Mitzrayim, so Rashi says, why does the Mishnah say you have to wait till Neitzachama to perform the mitzvah? Where does that come from? So Rashi says, Because Kadesh Yetze Misafik Laila. Because not everybody knows exactly what time Alos HaShachar is, and therefore he says, once you see the sun in the sky, nobody's going to deny that now it's Yom. Even though we know Yom already started 72 minutes ago, but we're concerned people are going to make a mistake, and therefore Rashi says, we have instituted that nobody should perform a mitzvah until we know for sure that now it is certainly Yom. And that's going to be 72 minutes later. That's what Rashi writes. Now, 20 minutes before, exactly. So that's the question. So 20 minutes before, 30 minutes before, you already see the sun is coming up. You know it's Yom already. So maybe it's a cloudy day, something, I don't know. But Rashi says that you have to be very careful about this. So this Techemed has a long, long discussion about whether or not people who are Bikiyim in Zmanim, people who know, somebody who lives, let's say, on the ocean, somebody who knows exactly when the sun is coming up, there's no question about it, says the Stechemet exactly what you're asking. If Rashi is saying the whole reason why we have to wait to perform the mitzvah Sayom until Netzach Ham is just because we want to make sure someone doesn't make a mistake, what if I'm an expert? What if I'm a meteorologist? I know how to read the stars. I know how to read everything. I could look in the sky. I know what's happening. Why shouldn't I be able to decide that right away at Alos HaShachar I can do the mitzvah because I'm not going to make a mistake? So this is a discussion in the Stechemet where he's very unsure about this issue. The Stechemet quotes his friend, the Heilige Aderis. The Aderis was the father-in-law of Rav Kook. And he writes that the Aderis was such a tzaddik, the Aderis wanted to be matzdik the minhag ha'olam. So he says the Aderis felt so bad, and he says the Aderis lived in a town in Europe where they only had one esrog. So you have one esrog and 1,000 people in the town who all have to shake lulav and esrog. How are we going to have time for everyone to do it? So he says people will line up already from way before Netzach Hama, and people would already start shaking the lulav then. But the Mishnah says you're not allowed to. So the Aderis was faced with the problem. Why is everybody violating what the Mishnah says in Megillah Daf Chav that all the mitzvahs that have to be performed by Yom can only be done after on Netzach Hama? Why is everyone already starting? I understand it's an emergency, but emergencies don't allow you to break the halacha, so why are we allowed to do that? So the Aderis writes as follows. Says the Aderis, what do you mean? Nowadays we all have watches. We all have watches. We all have the internet. We all know what time Alos HaShachar is. We know what time Netzach Hama is. So we're no longer stuck with the problem that Rashi said. Again, Rashi said the reason why we have to make sure that we wait 72 minutes till Netzach Hama is because we're concerned that maybe someone's going to make a mistake. We have to make sure it's Vade, not Laila anymore. What do you mean? Why do you have to make sure? Everybody has a watch. Look what time it is. You look at this Zmanim on the bulletin board outside. Everyone knows. So says the Aderis, nowadays the halacha doesn't apply anymore. No reason to wait till Netzach Hama. You're allowed to start immediately at Alos HaShachar, even the Chatchila. And this Techemed is so troubled by this Chiddush of the Aderis. He says it sounds nice, it could be nice, but he says he totally disagrees, he rejects the opinion of the Aderis. I was talking once to my father a number of years ago about this very interesting machlokas. So he suggested the following. So what was the Aderis thinking? What do you mean? So the Stechemen asked the question of the Aderis. We know that when we have a Takana Durabanan, even if Batal Atam, Batal Agzer, we don't just say Batal Agzer, we don't just say just because the reason doesn't apply anymore, therefore the Gzer doesn't apply either. You need a Bezin that's Gadol B'Chachma V'Minyan. So how do the Aderis just get rid of the whole halacha that you're not allowed to start doing the mitzvahs until Netzach Hama? How did the Aderis get rid of it? So my father suggested the following. It's a Chiddush, but it's an interesting suggestion to keep in mind. He suggested that there are times when Chazal make a Takana D'Rabbanan Be'ofen Lo Plug, which means doesn't matter what the circumstances are, doesn't matter how many answers you're going to say as to why it shouldn't apply anymore. Lo plug is a lo plug. The rabbis came along and said, we think this halach is important. That's what you have to do. No questions asked. That's the end of the story. So in a case like that, you need a bezdin that's gadol b'chachma v'minyan to repeal that earlier takana that they made. Because what right do you have? You don't know why they made it. You don't understand what the reason was. So you have to be gadol b'chachma v'minyan in order to break that takana. However, my father suggested that sometimes you have takanas midirabanan which are not Petaris Lo Plug, which are not just without a reason. Sometimes when the Chacham came along and made a Takana, they told us the reason. They incorporated the reason in the Takana itself. So any time that the Chachamim came along and suggested an idea and said, we think everybody should take upon themselves X, Y, and Z halacha, a certain new chumra, whatever it might be. And along with their suggestion, they said the reason. So in a case like that, if the reason doesn't apply later on, then we can get rid of the whole suggestion because they incorporated in the takana in the first place in order that we should understand what the takana is all about. If the reason doesn't apply, then the takana doesn't apply. That's not like a takana that was said without an explanation. It's very different. So my father already pointed out that this is similar to what we find in another context. Let's say even by a din d'oraisa, we find that there's a major discussion in the Tanaim. Should we assume that Darshinan Taima Dekra or not? Should we assume that you're allowed to look at the reason why a mitzvah applies, and if that reason you feel doesn't apply to you anymore, so therefore you can throw out a Din D'Oraisa also? For example, Shlomo HaMelech, right, decides, I'm allowed to marry more women than the 18 women that are permissible for a Melech. Why? Because the Pasuk says, Lo yaber lo nashim, v'lo yaser levavo. You're not allowed to marry too many wives because it's going to distract you from what you have to do. Shlomo HaMelech says, Ich bin a grace tzaddik. What am I nervous about? I'm such a big tzaddik. There's no reason for me not to marry more women. Nothing's going to happen wrong with me. And Shlomo HaMelech was wrong. So, it's not a given that every time you have a pasuk in Chumash that has a reason next to it, it's not a given that you can be Darish time in the Quran. However, there is a very famous opinion of the Rush. The Rush writes, we all have a mitzvah ba'atar kisvu lachem es hashira azos v'lamda es b'nei Yisrael. We have a mitzvah to write our own Sefer Torah. Says the Rush, nowadays, how come we don't all write Sefer Torah? So he says, no, nowadays the mitzvah is to buy svarim. Where does he get that from? So the Rush says, because the Pasuk says, you have a mitzvah, kisvu lachem es hashira azos. But what's the reason why you should write a Sefer Torah? Because v'lamda es b'nei Yisrael, that you should be educated. He says, nowadays that we don't educate ourselves with a Sefer Torah anymore, we educate ourselves with a Shas, with a Rambam, with svarim. So now that's the way we perform the mitzvah of Atar Kisvah Lechem Es Hashir Azos. The nature of the mitzvah changed. So, it's Darshinan Taima Dekra. How are you allowed to do that? How did the Rush do away with the whole mitzvah? We have a mitzvah. The simple reading of the pasuk is, go write for yourself a Sefer Torah. All of a sudden the Rush comes along and says, no, that's not what the mitzvah means. It means something else. What right does he have to do that? Darshinan Taima Dekra? You're deciding whether or not this mitzvah applies nowadays or not just because you decided that's what the Torah means. So no, Avnei Nezer writes because that's an exception to the rule. Over there, the Torah wrote, incorporated in the mitzvah itself, from the outset was, the whole point of the mitzvah is, V'lamda es b'nei Yisrael. Anytime where it's nichtav b'tzida, says the Avnei Nezer, anytime where the Torah itself writes the reason when formulating the mitzvah itself, so then when that reason doesn't apply, the mitzvah doesn't apply either. That's why the Rush makes a lot of sense. But in a regular Din D'Oraisa, we don't have a right to come and decide what the guidelines should be for the mitzvah and when it should apply, when it shouldn't. So this is a concept that we find both by Dinim D'Oraisa and then also by Dinim D'Rabbanan. That again, sometimes the Rabbanan came along and made a takana without explaining it to us, without telling us the parameters. In a case like that, we don't have a right to say, oh, nowadays we think it shouldn't apply anymore. We have to be Gadol B'Chachma V'Minyan. But sometimes the Chacham came along and made a takana, but they told us the reason. They told us why they had an impetus to make the takana. So in a case like that, if the Tama takana doesn't apply anymore, then the takana itself won't apply either. So my father suggested as follows. Whenever the Chachamim come along and make a takana, that is being oker davar min haTorah, whenever the Chacham come along and somehow uproot and get rid of a Din D'Oraisa that was pre-existing, they better make sure to tell us the reason, because why should we buy what they're saying? If they want to make up a new chumra and say, Bishalakam Pasagam, okay, that's a new thing. But they want to come along and tell me not to blow shofar in Rosh Hashanah, well, you better tell me a good explanation why you're doing that. Otherwise, I, as the educated consumer, I'm not going to listen to you. That's crazy. I follow the Torah, I don't follow you. You're trying to uproot mitzvahs. I don't listen to people who try to uproot mitzvahs. So in a case like that, Chazal always had to come along and say the reason when they were uprooting a mitzvah d'oraisa. So my father suggested over here the following. The mitzvah is to do certain performances of mitzvahs by yom. Let's say blowing shofar has to be by yom, shaking lulav has to be by yom. When does yom start? Halachic yom starts alos hashachar. Rashi says they pushed it off till netzach hama. Why? Did the rabbanim mishum safek? Rashi explains, right? So, my father suggested that when the Chachamim came along and said, wait till an Eitzach Hama, they are being oker davar min haTorah. Why? Because min haTorah is reason makdim in the mitzvahs. You really, on a biblical level, should have shaked the lulav the minute that Alos HaShachar started. You should have blown the shofar the minute that Alos HaShachar came about. Chachamim come along and are trying to be oker davar min haTorah and say, no, wait 72 minutes because we're concerned. Maybe you're going to fall into a trap here. Maybe you're going to do it Safek Laila. Maybe you're not going to know. So the Chacham are being Oker Davar Min haTorah, which is a code word for when we instituted the halacha in the first place, we told you the reason. Again, the reason is, like Rashi says, because we're concerned that maybe someone is going to make a mistake between Yom and Laila and they're going to do the mitzvah at the wrong time. Whenever they're being Oker Davar Min haTorah, they have to tell us the reason. So whenever the reason doesn't apply, the whole halacha doesn't apply. So that's maybe why the Adara said, nowadays, when we all have watches, and we all know there's manim, and no one's going to make a mistake, that's where the Adara says we have a right to say that we can repeal the earlier takana, we don't have to listen to it because it's not relevant. The Chachamim, when they made this takana, were going against a din d'oraisa, and whenever they're going against the din d'oraisa, they have to tell us the reason, which means, if the reason doesn't apply, then the takana might not apply either. So that's an interesting suggestion as to maybe why the Adara said that nowadays this whole halacha balos hashachar might not apply. But anyway, our Gemara seems to indicate very clearly that shofar is one of those mitzvahs as well. It has to be performed bidafka after it's yom. It cannot be done by laila. It has to be done by yom. And then the Gemara wants to know, what if I heard part of it by yom and part of it by laila? That would be something that would not qualify as performing the mitzvah of shofar. I wanted to discuss also what happens in the opposite direction. If I hear part of it at the beginning of the day and then the rest of it spills over into the nighttime, should I assume that as long as I start in the right time, that's good enough? Or do you say, no, the whole performance of the mitzvah has to take place by yom, and you cannot have some of it linger over into the night, which is the same shaila as by Zman Tefillah. What if I start mincha before the Zman Tefillah, and now it goes way after the Shkia? Should I assume that since I started at the right time, it's good enough, or not? Anyway, that discussion, I guess, we'll have to wait for another time.